Okay. So now what we're going to do is we're going to move to some live questions. So I'm going to go to Jason and click my little unmute button.
Hey, Jeff.
Hi, Jason. How you doing?
Hey, really good. Really, really pleased with the course. Got the first time around. I'm just now managing to keep up. And I feel kind of bad because you sort of answered this, but maybe it'll be helpful for those people as well to hear it from a different angle. I have a relationship with an advertising partner that I've been working with for probably close to 4 years now with, I guess, what you term the hope style marketing. You know, you do ads and you send them to the sales page and you get some sales if you're lucky. But that's worked fairly well. And in lieu of being able to attract other large joint venture partners, which I'm definitely going to take your advice and follow the method that you've laid out, but I've got access to literally millions of people in my niche, and I'm just wondering, since they don't necessarily have a relationship with this list, and neither do I per se, at least not one that I'm aware of, they may or may not really know who I am, mm-hmm. I'm just wondering about the best way to utilize what seems like it would be a huge resource to me. Is it, do I just try and squeeze as many people off as possible? Can I do kind of a launch sequence to that huge list? What are your thoughts?
Well, and so this list, I mean, someone actually has this list hosted somewhere, so you can actually get email out to them?
Oh, yeah, I can send them a whole series. I mean,
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's really an ace in the hole.
So you got a home run in the making here. So basically, yeah, you just squeeze them. I mean, you're going to have to get them, you know, the list owner, your partner, to agree that, you know, you're not going to get paid tomorrow on this thing. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be 5 or 6 weeks till we – until we really knock it out of the park, but you're going to make a fortune.
Okay.
So then what you do is you just, whatever the niche is, you come up with some killer free offer for them.
Okay.
And you send them an email and you say, go sign up and get this killer free thing.
Okay.
And then you just scrub them onto your list. And then, you know, hopefully you can get your partner to agree to do that, you know, three times. Two, three, four times.
Well, yeah, because I've got like two or three or four free things kind of already ready, if that makes sense.
Yep, absolutely. No, it's perfect. Absolutely perfect. I mean, you know, I ranted on about like co-reg lists and stuff, but I mean, this is a list, you know, if it's already out, you know, I mean, this list is already compiled. It's ready for you to mail on.
Right.
They're managing the mailing. Yeah, you just have to drive them to a squeeze page. And you know, frankly, with those kind of numbers, you're going to want to split test. Like crazy.
Okay.
So you're going to want to send them to just a pure squeeze page, to sort of like a reverse squeeze page where they get, you know, 5 or 10 minutes of content or something, and then ask for them just to opt in.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, you're going to want to just test that thing like crazy with those kind of numbers.
Okay.
But, yeah, and then mail them on the second one and mail them on the third one. Meanwhile, the people that are getting on your list, you're just romancing them and setting up for the launch. And, I mean, this is just, yeah. Home run.
Okay, cool. I'll probably be posting more questions in regard to that as I get further along with it. But I appreciate everything you're doing. Thanks a lot.
Oh, cool. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, there we go. I got Jason muted. We're going to go to another one. This is a wireless caller in the 917 area code.
Hi.
Hello.
It's Polly.
Hi, Polly.
Hi. I have a list that I generated off a content site. So the list seekers are not necessarily buyers. They're mm-hmm. information seekers.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a niche that people advertise to and people do buy things in. And I'm trying to figure out how to find a product to sell to them, to build for them.
Okay.
I'm a repeat, and I sent the seed pre-launch email template question when I had about less than 200 people, and I got 5 or 6 responses,
mm-hmm.
which, depending on, you know, considering the size of the list, was not too bad, but nothing I could really turn into a product. So now I have about 500 people, and I want to repeat it, and I was wondering whether I should just fish. You know, what do you need, or whether I should, like, propose a list of some ideas that I have.
Yeah, well, and what how are you managing that list? You have a list host, or?
I have a list host. It's a very, very clean list host. They're very, you know, double opt-in,
yep.
Very anti-spam. So.
The reason I ask, Polly, is that what I like to do with surveys, especially in this type of instance, is I'd like to send out one survey to the first, you know, 100 of them or 200 of them and see what kind of response you get. And then,
yeah, I can't segment. It's
you can or can't?
I cannot.
Okay. Yeah, then
I might be able to segment on the landing page, please go take this survey, and then I could segment on the landing page. Untechnical,
yeah.
I could do that.
Are you sure you can't even segment, say, by, because lots of times there's little hidden segment ways to segment, like you can mail to people that have joined before this date and then before this date and before this date.
It's a broadcast-only service.
Okay.
Very limited.
Okay.
You know,
I'd still go poke around a little bit just to see if you can, you know, because I know like AWeber and Profile, you go in there, you can say, okay, people before this join date, mail. So anyway, let's leave that behind. That's the best solution is to segment it and go, if I had 500, I'd go 100 at a time and just and tweak it. So like your first one is your most broad-based, and if you get enough good data, then you tweak it, and so that you get a little more refined and a little narrower in the question you ask. If you don't get enough from the first 100, then you send another 100 until you get enough information where you can start to narrow it down, and then you go out. So if you can't do that, what you can do is, I do something pretty broad-based. I would put in that, you know, put in the text at the end of the PS, yes, I really do want to hear from you. Just hit the reply button now. And answer me, and you know, and that can just having that text in there can really drive up the response rate. Then the other thing you can do is you can go real broad based initially, and then come back 2 weeks later and say, hey, thanks for all the response. You know, I'm really excited. You know, people are really really interested in this. Now I just have one more question for you, or two more questions, and then you can get to a little bit tighter. So you can sort of, it's a, sort of a two stage one. And then the other thing I would say is, you know, when you first started talking, you mentioned that this was based off of, this opt-in list was built off of a content site, and that, you know, so they're information seekers, not necessarily buyers. And all I'll say is that we're all information seekers, and in reality, the best lists are really, they're built off those type of content sites. I mean, those are the best lists there are. Because they're generally people that are the, you know, just because they're looking for information doesn't mean they're not willing to buy. So.
Okay, great, thanks.
Oh, you're welcome. Okay, the next one we're going to is a 704 area code. Hello?
Hi, this is Tim.
Hey, Tim, how you doing?
Hey, doing great, thanks. I've got a quick question. I'm probably going to set up a free survey and then a paid report before my website is actually set up. And do you know of anyone who could help me with that type of website setup? Maybe a company or a website I could go to?
What type of site did you want to put up?
It's going to be an online subscription site for massage therapists and for students that are in massage schools and also for chiropractors.
Okay. So if it's going to be a membership site, there's
mm-hmm.
lots of different ways to go. I talked about membership site software on the last and the first call. There's a,
okay.
You know, so there's a few different ways to go, and like the easiest end-to-end solution, it's not the cheapest one,
mm-hmm.
but MemberGate, MemberGate, MemberGate.com. You go there. Tim Kerber is the owner, and Tim's a good friend of mine. And he what's beautiful about him is it's end-to-end. They'll host the thing for you. They'll do the basic design for you. They'll put it all up, and it will include the software, everything.
Mm-hmm.
End-to-end solution. You know, some of the other solutions, like the one I'm using, is called AIM Member, and that one, you know, you need to create your site, you need to create your design, you need it's fairly complicated. You know, so it's, you have more options, you have a little more flexibility, you probably have similar capabilities, it might be cheaper, but you have to do everything yourself from scratch. Whereas like MemberGate, it's sort of a done-for-you type system. So it sounds like for you, MemberGate might be the best solution, even though.
Yeah, thanks. I think so, too. Good. Thanks, Jeff.
Yep, you're welcome. Okay, let's move along. We've got a 616 number. So, again, if anyone has questions, go ahead and press *1. And that will unmute, or I mean, yeah, that will raise your hand. Press *1 to raise your hand. So this is a 616 number.
Hi, Jeff. This is Alan.
I'm sorry, your name?
My name's Alan.
Okay. How you doing, Alan?
I've got basically two questions, but one that's probably more important than the other, at least as far as what I'm looking at right now. But one of the things that you had mentioned in the pre-launch to product launch formula that sounded very interesting to me, and I'm kind of wondering how it's done, is a strategic question. And you had mentioned that during a launch you can actually raise your prices. And I'm kind of wondering how that's done, because most of what I've seen in the material so far has been adding to the product, adding extra bonuses, creating a different package, or even in two of the examples, lowering the price to do the launch. And I'm kind of wondering, what's the strategy to actually raise the price?
Okay, that's a good question. Generally, I mean, what you're not doing is raising the price in the launch. When I said that, what I meant was, so generally with a launch, you get great positioning and you can be priced at the premium end. Like if you look at like retailers, you know, there's Walmart and there's Neiman Marcus. In my opinion, it's much better to be at the Neiman Marcus end, because if you're at the Walmart end, you're just competing on price and someone can always come in and undercut you. You know, even they might even be willing to lose money. So what a launch will allow you to do is it allows you to build your positioning so you can be more at the Neiman Marcus end. Now, an example is Andrew Jones. Andrew Jones had a $27 ebook on taking care of your pets, cats and dogs. Taking care of cats and dogs, $27 ebook was selling on ClickBank. What he did was he pulled back and basically took the same material and turned it into a multimedia course by creating screen capture videos. So he took an ebook, same material, and turned it into a home study course. Went from $27, or it might have been $47, I can't remember, but I think it was $27, and went from $27 up to $297. And so, I mean, if you just want to sell a book about taking care of your cat and dog, and if you just have a website sitting out there, and you're having traffic, you know, driving traffic through it via affiliates or whatever, you might not be able to sell for $297. But if you put together that launch process and get people involved in your launch, all of a sudden you can get that kind of pricing. So that's what I've really meant. I've seen that over and over, where people have taken like an ebook or a printed book or like a one course, I mean a one audio, and it blown it out into a bigger package and then gotten a much higher price.
You answered my question perfectly in probably the first 10 seconds of what you said, because what I gather from what you're saying is that the launch process builds your expert status, and that by itself creates a branding that justifies a higher price.
Uh-huh. Perfect. I think you probably just said it better than I did. Yeah, that's exactly it. It builds your positioning, your brand, and all of a sudden you're at premium price. I mean, you know, I learned this, boy, gosh, oh my gosh, it was 15, maybe 20 years ago, and I had this one friend who, at the time, I had no money. This is a mountain biking friend, so we'd go mountain biking together. And this guy seemed like he made more money. He had more money than God, it seemed like to me. He had an auto repair shop, and he specialized in servicing Subarus. And he said, boy, look at, and you know, so this is in Boulder, Colorado, a lot of money in Boulder, and very, the business did real well. And but he said, boy, looking back on it, you know, when I started my business, I could have just as easily started a business where I serviced Mercedes. But instead, I picked Subarus. That was a bad decision. It's like if I would have picked Mercedes, I'd, you know, be servicing the same number of cars and make more money. He's like, and so I was like, huh, that's an interesting lesson. I'm glad, you know, he spent the last 20 years learning that lesson and shared it with me. Because it's better to be at the premium end of your market, and a launch gives you that positioning. So, yep, good question.
If I can, my other question is probably a matter of, when you survey your list and you want to make sure that you've got a nice warm list that will respond when you do the launch, and I understand that part of warming up the list is being personable with them and giving them good content and this kind of thing. When you get to the point of doing a survey and looking for a response from your list, is there any sort of gauge to know, is the list warm enough to proceed with the launch? For instance, I have a list that's a little over 5,000 people. How many people would I hope to get to fill out a survey in order to know that that list is warm enough to proceed with the launch?
It's really hard to say. I mean, it really varies dramatically from market to market. And it also varies dramatically, like if you're just asking them to respond via email versus respond by taking a survey. You know, just to get them to click through is like huge compared to just hitting your reply button. So it's really hard to say. I mean, with 5,000, I mean, I'd hope you'd get a couple hundred responses. But even then, you know, a lot of times what you can do is, even if it seems dead, it seems slow and not much of a response, just through the launch process, you can warm things up. So I don't think I would ever have a number, you know, where, like, I mean, if you sent it out and, like, got, like, no responses, I'd think I'd have a deliverability issue, you know.
Yeah.
You know, if you do a survey, definitely use a tracking link and take them through the tracking link so you can see how many people clicked through the survey versus how many actually took the survey. You know, that's an interesting piece of data that is easy to collect. I'd be looking for, you know, 5,000 people. If you're sending them to a survey, you know, 150, 200, you know, something like that. But again,
okay.
it really varies dramatically by the market. There's so many factors, it's crazy.
So it sounds like if I can get 5% of my list to take a survey, that's doing pretty good.
Yeah, 5%
okay.
would be good. Yep.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Al. Okay, now we've got, is it Rebby? Rebecca? I'm not sure. 516 area code.
Hello, Jeff?
Yes.
Hi, Jeff, it's Rebby. Hi. I came in a few minutes late, and I had also typed this question, and I don't know if you already got to it. You'll let me know. But you've mentioned, I think in the last Q&A, you talked about the possibility of doing an ongoing launch through an autoresponder.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering how you set that up so that the offer actually ends, because obviously people who are coming into the series later are still going to be sent to the same page.
Yeah.
And
yep.
Do you have any magic about that or anything?
Well,
to say?
Yeah, there's two answers. One, there's some software that it's not actually available to the public. I can see if I can get a hold of that. So I'll make a note just to try to get a hold of that. No guarantees. I might be able to get a copy of that and let people have that. It'd be a long shot, but I might be able to pull it off. The
uh-huh.
second answer is, it's just, you know, since it's an ongoing thing, it's just sort of something that you're adding into your business, it's a little sloppy. What you would do is you would have all the deadlines built into your autoresponder, and you wouldn't have them built into your sales letter. So after, say, they're on your autoresponder for, you know, 14 days, then you could start the launch process, say, you know, hey, you know, next, you know, it wouldn't be next Tuesday. It'd be like, in 3 more days, we're going to roll this thing out, and, you know, then you go through your standard pre-launch stuff, but you have to talk in terms of number of days instead of giving specific dates. Then you have to send your sales letter, and the sales letter is going to have to say something like, you know, we're going to, like, say you launch, and say it's going to be a 7-day launch. You could take them to a sales letter that says, you know, this is going to come down in 7 days. Or you could just do all of the timing stuff via your autoresponder and take them to, you know, not your standard sales letter, but some other hidden sales letter. And then the reality then, if you do it that way, is if someone sees the thing 3 weeks later, they can still click through to it. So that's why I say it's a little bit sloppy doing it that way.
Right. So that, yeah.
So it's just, it's not perfect, but it's just a way of throwing a little juice into your autoresponder series. Now, the other way you can do it, the way that, say, like John Gallagher does with his Learning Herbs site, is that once a month he goes through the process. So once a month he does a launch to all the people that have joined his list in the last month. He's using the same emails every month, the same sales letter. Everything's the same. In fact, you can schedule this. Like if you go with, you know, Profile or AWeber, or, you know, a lot of services that let you schedule broadcasts.
Yeah.
I mean, you could actually schedule this stuff all out, you know, a month in advance, and have those emails go out, you know, say it's going to be the 2nd of January. It goes out, you know, you say send this thing on the 2nd of January and send these all out. And then you would do that launch every month, but just what you're doing at that point is you're only emailing to people that have joined your list in the last month. So that's a much cleaner way to do it. It's a little more effort to do it that way.
And then at the end of the month, do you take that page down, and the next month you send them to a different page?
Yep.
Exactly.
And, you know, whichever way you do it, you're not taking them to your main sales page because, you know, at the launch, there's presumably some type of a special offer. You know, it's a different offer. So,
interesting. Exactly. Thank you. And the software that you're talking about, it's not something that I could Google and find, huh?
No, it's not commercially available.
I
know someone that actually had it coded up, and I might be able to call in a favor and get him to let me have it.
All right. Thank you very much.
No problem. I'd say it's low odds, but it's a possibility. So I'll
Okay. Great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Now we've got a 215 number.
Hello?
Hello. Go ahead. You're on. Who am I talking to?
Hey, what's going on? Oh, I'm just shocked that I just got on all of a sudden. But, hey, this is Chris Cho.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, I'm doing a launch of shirts for entrepreneurs, and I don't know what to make for my squeeze page right now because I can't really give anything for free. Like, I can't give away shirt for free, so I'm having a problem right now.
Right. Okay, so you can't give a shirt away for free. At that point, what can you promise them that they're going to get down the road? They can get a discount. You know, you can say you're going to get first crack at this discount. They're going to get it, you know, the first, they can, you know, get in for a contest or a drawing, a 2-for-1, something like that. You know, they could get in, somehow involve them in the design process.
Yeah, I'm actually thinking of, I haven't even really designed the shirt because I just made a video for people to look at, like, hey, I want you to come up with the design because this is more for you and me, like for the entrepreneurs out there. And I'm making it like limited edition, so it's just for us. And yeah, like I'm just doing a launch just for us so I could just kind of promote to them.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I'll sell it for like $50, not to make money, but just so I can make it more valuable for them so they could get it under $10 and it goes for $50 and up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, anything, you know, the question is what's going to get them excited? And, you know, where's the traffic going to come from? And so look at, you know, where the traffic's coming from, and so that sort of gives you an idea of who they are. What's going to get them excited? And so, yeah, the ability to be in on the design, the ability to watch your whole design process, the possibility of getting one for free, the possibility of getting one at a discount. It's not, you know, it's you're going to have to be creative, and those are the ones that come to me off the top of my head of what you could do. You could do, you know, you might be able to find, you know, put together. The other thing, you know, you could put together information on sort of your process, what you're doing, how this is a marketing process, so you can turn it into, like, they get an educational piece on how you're putting together this business. You could interview someone, something along that line. So then, in other words, what I'm talking about is using like an information product as like the bonus to get them to join. So, and a lot of people can do this, like with e-commerce, I suggest doing this. You know, you can often create an information product, a digital information product that can be, you know, part of your bonus package or part of the bribe to get the opt-in. So, I mean, that could be as easy as putting together a quick PDF report or an audio or a video that they get, you know, if they opt in.
Okay, got that. I got that. Yeah, you really helped. Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Cool, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Yep. Okay, the next one's going to be, looks like, Hal, I think. Yeah, that's what it looks like. Hal in a 972 code.
Hi, this is Hal.
Hey, Hal, how you doing?
Doing great. My question is, I don't have a list, and it's my perception that my potential herd does not lurk about the Internet seeking help online. And I'm thinking, if I do have a snail mail mailing list,
mm-hmm.
and I'm thinking about sending them postcards to go to a squeeze page. Do you think that that's you haven't really talked about that much. Do you think that's a viable way of
totally.
Building a list?
Yeah, totally. It's worked very, very effectively. In fact, I'm going to take a look at can't remember if I've released the Martin Howie case study yet. It's one of the ones I've got planned to give to you guys. I'm just trying not to overwhelm you all at the same time with all the stuff I've got. Yep, the Martin Howie. You should go listen to the Martin Howie case study. It's right on the main page of the PLF site, and that's exactly what he did. He pulled off a $2 million launch doing that, doing postcards, getting people to I've got this local music store, and I tried to talk the guy into, you know, he was dying on the vine there trying to sell some instruments, and I put together a whole plan for him just because I wanted to see him stay in business as long as possible because I like having someone where I can go buy guitar strings.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried to talk him into doing this and doing a launch. Now, I was never successful in getting him to do it, but basically, you know, buying a list of the local addresses and doing postcards to those local addresses and getting those people to join a list and then doing a launch. It works, you know, it worked for Martin Howie, it's worked for other people. It's very, very effective. And that list you get, in fact, I did, one of the launches that you got to see a lot of swipe stuff from was the Brian Sachs launch for the mortgage officers. And we used postcards in that one where we had a list, and we had two lists. One was a warm list and one was a cold list that we used postcards to drive them to an opt-in. In both cases, it was very, very effective. Now, you're not going to get a huge follow-through. I mean, you're not going to get 50% of those people or 70% aren't going to sign up. But the ones that do are red hot, and they're going to convert like mad. So it's absolutely a great way to go.
Do you have any swipe files for the postcards?
You know, I don't. I don't have it. It's sort of going to be similar to a squeeze page where, you know, it makes a promise. If they go, you know, join the list, then they're going to get something cool. And so it's going to be very similar to a squeeze page.
Would you pay extra to get a big postcard with more copy on it, or would you just try to get as much as you can on the cheapest postcard you can send?
You know, Hal, I'm not a postcard expert. You know, we did that. I personally have only been involved in that one launch where we used them. And then, you know, I know other people that have done them. So, you know, one thing I try to avoid is giving advice on stuff that I don't have experience in. And, I don't know what the costs are. I would think I'd probably try them both. I probably use multiple, mail more than once to that list. And I'd probably go, you know, with both. I'd go big and small.
Okay.
But that's that's not for a voice of experience speaking. You know, that's just my gut feel.
Well, maybe I'll email Brian Sachs, see if he'll give me some swipe files.
You can certainly track Brian down. And absolutely.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Okay, we got a couple more questions here. This one looks like from a 604 area code. Hello?
Hello. Yeah, it's Todd calling. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome.
I have a question regarding how to transition from free content to selling my list something. I've built a list of about 2,500 people,
mm-hmm.
and it's in the IM space, so it's small for that space, definitely. But I basically built the list to sell them other IM-related products. Now, what's happened is to get them on the list, I've been giving away content for a number of months now, and the amount of content I've given away could easily fill a small course.
Mm-hmm.
People are writing back. They're positive about it. They're saying, wow, this is better than a lot of junk I'm buying off ClickBank, mm-hmm. so now I want to turn it into a product. My problem is all of my raving fans have followed the material so closely that if I turn it into a product, there's not going to be anything new there. The problem with the material right now is that it's pretty unorganized because it was kind of a brain dump as I went.
Mm-hmm.
So the value I'm adding to the product that I want to release is just reorganization, restructure, better teaching.
Okay.
But the underlying content is the same largely.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is real easy. How have you delivered the content? What format has it been in?
It's been in lessons, in lesson format. There's about 9-10 lessons right now.
And are those in text or video or audio? Or?
They're in text.
And do they get delivered via email?
Yes, through AWeber.
Okay. So now you just heard where I said that that Andrew Jones took a $27 ebook and turned it into a $300 course by turn it into screen capture video, right?
Mm-hmm.
That will work just as well for you. So the transition is not difficult. The transition is basically just do exactly like I showed you. I mean, this is a total reluctant hero. You know, you created this list because you just had this information you wanted to share with people. You've had great success. And frankly, you know, it's fun giving back, and it's fun having the accolades and having people thank you, and having it's fun to change in people's lives, and you've had a great time. But now, so many people have been asking for just more in-depth material for my material to be taken, you know, from the current format, which I'll admit it's a little bit sloppy and a little bit disorganized, and turn it into a complete end-to-end system for you to use. And, you know, I've been really reluctant to do that. I've been, you know, because, frankly, it's going to be a ton of work, and my other businesses are doing so well and bringing in so much money that it's just not something I really wanted to sit down and do. But, you know, with the new year, I've just been sitting back, taking a look at my business and thinking about what I wanted to do and thinking about how rewarding this is to really help people build their businesses online. So what I've decided to do is really to bite the bullet and sit down and create, to take my, you know, my system, and really it hasn't been a real system. It's just really been a bunch of emails I sent you, and turn it into an end-to-end, step-by-step system that you can follow, that you can just plug right into your business and you'll have great success. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm putting this thing together right now. It's going to take me a while. I think it's probably going to take me at least 3 or 4 weeks to get the first module in place and to get it ready to go. So what I want you to do, the thing that you can do to really help me out is just, you know, you've been through a lot of this material. Let me know, what am I missing? What do I really need to cover here? You know, what areas weren't clear? What wasn't 100% clean? You know, how can I improve this? How can I make this better? How can I make it more actionable for you? And if you just, you know, hit your reply button now and let me know what you think, it would really help me out a lot.
Okay.
That's all you need to do. You're golden.
Okay. So, but with Andrews, when he did that with his $27 ebook, did he just sort of reformat or restructure the content into video, or
yep.
did he actually add a lot of new knowledge? Because I'm more worried about the keeners that have been following my material saying, oh, I already know that. You said it in text. All you're doing is putting it in video.
Okay, listen to me. I've sold millions and millions of dollars of information products. I've helped other people sell millions and millions of dollars worth of stuff. I know this market like the back of my hand. I know selling information like this is not something you need to worry about.
Okay.
People if they've bought into you and what you're delivering, they're going to want more from you. And then if you just get on the phone, like I'm doing right now,
mm-hmm.
and just answer some questions. So if you even just delivered, if you just put it into an ebook, but also tagged on like 3 teleseminars where you answer questions, they would get so much more value out of that that you would be, I mean, it'd be worth hundreds of dollars to them. See, this is not something to worry about. Take that text I just spoke. I mean, you get the recording, get that transcribed, and use that text, and this will be a winner. Yeah, one or two people will end up saying, I already got that stuff. I want a refund. Does that hurt you? No, it doesn't, because you have those 98 other people that you sold to. You do not have to worry about this. No one, a few people will complain. You just say, sorry, you know, here's your money back.
Okay.
But by making it organized and actionable, you increase the value like tenfold. So even if you don't add anything, it's 10 times more valuable to people. But as you go through this process, and especially as you ask for this feedback and get the feedback, and if you turn it into video, if you turn it into audio, you will add more material to it. It will become more material, and it will be better organized. It will be more valuable. Then tag on a couple teleseminars, and you're golden.
Okay.
You do not have to worry.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Okay, and then if anyone, I've got one more question here, and my voice is holding out, so I'm willing to answer some more. So if you have a question, it's *1 right now. We're going to go to an Arizona number, a 602. Hello? Who am I talking to? 602 number.
Sorry, that was me. I forgot to unmute my own phone.
Oh, no problem.
Hey, Jeff, this is Greg Gomez out in Phoenix.
Hey, Greg.
I have a quick question. I noticed that when you did your opt-ins, when I got brought into your list, you used a double opt-in confirmation. And when I've done lead generation for myself, I've always found a single opt-in to convert a lot higher.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if you could speak to that. What if I'm doing, in my case, I'm doing an internal launch, and I'm going to be driving them onto a sub-list. Should I double opt them in, or does it matter?
Okay, I've been completely double opt-in since 2001, so I'm sort of a fan of double opt-in. When you go double opt-in, you're going to lose people. In other words, as you know, but I'm speaking to everyone here, you know, of the 100% of people that opt in, only some smaller percentage are actually going to confirm. So you lose some percentage of people. That percentage varies by list. Now, personally, I work really hard to get that number as high as possible. I'm currently running right around 85% of my people will confirm. It's probably just under 85, you know, 84.2% confirm. And I do that by carefully testing my thank you page and by carefully testing the confirmation message, the initial message that goes out that tells them to confirm. So you can get that number up. Now, and I'm going off on a sidebar first. I'll answer this question completely. But so you want to work to get if you're going double opt-in, you know, some people have a 40% confirm rate, and so you're losing 60% of your people, and that's a complete disaster. At 85%, you got to remember that a lot of people are putting in bogus email addresses, and there's also a lot of, you know, spam bots running around opting into everything in the world. And so those are not legitimate opt-ins. So of that 15%, approximately 15% that I'm losing, a big chunk of those are not legit opt-in people anyways, and so they wouldn't do me any good. So let's say the people that don't confirm are not legit. That means I'm up in a 92% range. And the way I look at it, those 8% that I lose, well, they're probably not my best prospects anyways. If they're not willing to go to their email, if they don't, you know, if they can't confirm, if they don't know how to confirm, if they can't figure out the process, they're probably not really good prospects for buying from me anyways. That's my thinking. Now, the upside of going double opt-in is that I don't have – like I have like a very famous internet marketer, a good friend of mine right now is having a lot of difficulty getting his email delivered because he has he basically got an email address on his list. He wasn't double opt-in, got an email address, a spam trap address, and that's an address that, you know, if it gets sent to, it's just, it's automatically assumed to be spam. And I don't want to go into too many details here because it gets a little, it just gets a little old going through all, or not old, but it gets a little too, whatever, technical. Or the bottom line is, if someone, say like one of your competitors wants to mess with you and they just start putting all kinds of bogus email addresses in, and I'm not saying everyone that this happens, but it's within the realm of possibility that if you're single opt-in, you can get addresses on your list that when they go out, they could get reported as spam, because anyone could enter anyone's email address into a single opt-in. You know, I could put anyone's address, I could go to anyone's site and enter anyone's address, and it would get added to your list. All those bogus addresses that people are adding on, you know, joeblow@123.com, you know, where they're just opting in because they think they're going to get to your content, all those bogus addresses get added in. Those, and now all of a sudden you've got like tons of bogus addresses. Well, one of the ways that, and I'm going to get a little technical here, but one of the ways that email host, email providers such as Yahoo and Google and MSN and all those others, one of the ways they judge whether something is spam is how many good addresses are coming through. Like if you have a ton of bad addresses to, you know, people put in Joe Blow at AOL.com and you get a bunch of those, AOL is looking at the email coming in from your list and saying, oh, well, look at all these bad addresses. This must be a spam list. They're also looking at the behavior. So if your emails land in a bunch of emails in a bunch of inboxes where people aren't opening those emails up, then they start to assume it's spam. So there's a lot of reasons that make single opt-in a more risky way of doing business. So for me, it was 7 years ago. I said I'm willing to bite the bullet, to work as hard as I can to get my double opt-in rate as high as possible. Know I'm going to lose some people, but because of that, I'll have a cleaner list. I'll have less blacklist issues. I know no one can mess with my business by entering spam trap addresses. So, you know, it's a give and a take. Now, all that being said, in the one instance you talked about where you're sending people from your internal list to a sublist, that is one situation where I would consider doing single opt-in. Because conceivably, it should be a pretty clean list, especially if your current list is double opt-in. Then it would make it even cleaner. If you've got a double opt-in and then you're sending them to another opt-in, that's a case where I might consider going single opt-in. The other case is like if someone purchases a high-dollar product from you, I'd consider going single opt-in on that. But in general, I'm willing to bite the bullet, give up some small percentage, work as hard as I can to make that percentage small, and give up some small percentage to go with the safety of a double opt-in.
Okay.
So did I completely beat that into the ground? Or?
No, I appreciate it. It actually gives me a lot to think about as far as how I'm opting folks in. My high-end package is a $2,500 package for the front-end opt-in, and I noticed that then I was getting a really low double opt-in rate, and especially with my market, it just seemed, I don't know, I never invested time into it. I just saw the immediate results and said, okay, single opt-in wins because I get more sign-ups that way.
Yeah.
And then there was a high ticket price on the back end. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's things you got to do. Like, for instance, like, when you're squeezing them, you can't have them just, like, if they give you opt-in, you can't just drop them onto the content and say, and then hope they opt in. I mean, or they hope they confirm. You got to drop them on a thank you page that says, cool, you're almost there. All you have to do is confirm, and then you get the goodies.
Which then, I've been doing this since 2003, 2004, and I never invested figuring it out. I just saw, okay, for example, I saw yours, and I saw another list I got on for Jeff Johnson that does the same thing. And for those confirmations, I never even considered split testing that. And for me, it's all about what are the back-end dollars. If it converts, if it's a smaller list, but that list converts stronger, and you're not going to have that much waste, and I use AWeber already. If I had found Profiler first, I would have used it. But with AWeber, I would have had them just for their own metrics, making sure that I'm not getting a bunch of spam complaints and all that other stuff that goes along with it. I know double opt-ins reduce that, and it keeps you more confirmed with them and conformity with them.
Yep. I'll tell you what the biggest cost to go and double opt-in, and no one ever talks about this, but you lose the thank you page. Mm-hmm. Because the thank you page then becomes a page that sells the confirmation. And it used to be, you know, you could market all kinds of other stuff on the thank you page. And, you know, when my business was a lot smaller than it is now, you know, one hundredth the size it is now, I still paid my mortgage every single month by putting, like, a soft offer on the thank you page. Hmm. But now I can't, because the thank you page is purely 100% dedicated to selling the confirmation. So that's the biggest loss, is you really lose that thank you page real estate. But I think it's worth it in general, but you do have to work to get those confirmations as high as possible.
So I'll start running split tests and figure out which one worked best for me then. Thank you.
Cool.
Appreciate it, Jeff.
Oh, you're welcome. Okay, now we're going to go to a wireless caller in a 917 area code.
Hi, Jeff. It's Polly again.
Hey, Polly.
Since you had more voice, I thought I'd come back with a second question. One of my ideas for a product for my audience is to interview an expert and create a recording in a particular specialty aspect that they might be interested in. And I was wondering if you had any swipe language for getting the expert involved, selling the expert into the concept.
You know, I really don't. Let me make a note and see if I can come up with anything. I might be able to find someone else that's done it, or look at when someone's done it to me. No, I just don't. Let me just write this note. You know, generally, if you use the triggers that I'm teaching in Product Launch Formula, you know, especially the social proof trigger. Like, usually what the whole key is getting the one expert, and once you get the one expert, then you can use that as social proof. You know, say, we've already got so-and-so committed, or we just did this interview with so-and-so. That's the way to do it. And you want to sort of go at it the way you go at it with affiliates, where you work your way up. You might start with, you wouldn't start off with Tiger Woods. You'd start off with some, you know, C-level player, and then get those people on board, and then work up to B-level players and then A-level players. Unless the beautiful thing is, if somehow you can create the relationship with an A-level player, and the way to do that is by getting out to events and buying them some beers and stuff like that. But if you can somehow create a special relationship, or maybe, you know, you're the nephew of someone, or I've seen people do that, you know, literally someone has become a player in sort of the small business space because he was a nephew of some, you know, huge guru, and so he played off of that. He had the big guru on board, then he was able to get the lesser players. And when I say lesser, I'm not making a judgment, but just, you know, that's the reality, is that some people carry more weight. But the best thing to do is the best way is to create a relationship, somehow create a special relationship, and that's often by going to a live event. Often it's by buying whatever they've got. You know, you buy their highest end product, and I guarantee you're instantly on someone's radar when you do that. But I'll check and see if I come up with any swipe files or any more information on how to do that.
Great, thanks.
Sure. Okay, now we've got an anonymous caller. This is a little scary. Okay, who am I speaking to?
Hey, Jeff, this is Henry in San Diego. How are you doing?
Hi, Henry. I'm doing good.
Good. I had an interesting question for you. I've got a list that we've built up. It's about 11,000 people. This is for a self-hypnosis site.
Uh-huh.
And the list currently isn't segmented, so all these people have come in as pretty generic, hey, I'm looking to learn more about self-hypnosis. And so my question is, would you first do a segmentation via survey and then do a separate launch? And kind of the big ones are weight loss, stress reduction, and then like wealth, you know, make more money through using self-hypnosis. And I would like to do one launch and leverage the whole list, but I don't know if that would be the best idea. It'd probably be better to segment and then do one launch after another and treat them as separate lists. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I definitely think segmenting and doing, you know, sequential launches aimed at each one would really do much, much better. Off the top of my head, I can't think of exactly how I would do that technically.
Well, I was thinking because we have Infusion, I could literally do one of the clickable, trackable links and say, what are you most interested in? Because I have it for maybe 1,000 of them, but, you know, for the other 9,000 or 10,000, I don't. And so I was thinking just have them click, oh, I want to learn more about weight loss or make more money or reduce stress.
Yep, absolutely. Or you could do, like, some piece of content, like what if you did, like, an intro teleseminar on each one?
Oh, that's a good idea.
And then, you know, get them to re-up, you know, to opt in for that teleseminar.
Yeah, that's a good one. And since the list is kind of cold, too, that might be a good idea to warm it up a little bit.
Yep. Yep.
Okay, perfect. Great. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome, Henry.
Okay.
Okay, so my voice is now starting to go on me, so I'm going to take a couple more questions here.
Hi, Jess. It's Adam. How are you doing?
Good. How are you, Adam?
Good. Hey, just had a quick question. I'm working here on the, like, I'm just like you story, doing, it's dental consulting is what it is. We have a list of about 3,000 people and just a few clients, because we only take on a few clients at a time, but now we're trying to kind of do a massive launch to be able to reach more people. Because we're consultants and not dental practitioners, the I'm a lot like you doesn't really work. And so we're thinking of taking it like, you know, like a case study initially saying, you know, you might be a lot like this dentist who we're working with right now and consulting kind of a thing.
Yep, that's exactly what you want to do.
Is that the best way to do it?
Yep. Yep.
All right.
I talk with people, you know, every day, and I see the same problems over and over. I think they're probably, you've got a lot of these similar problems and whatever, but that's exactly it.
And I was thinking, well, you know, starting out obviously with a questionnaire, could we start out with like a case study and a questionnaire kind of to get interest, or is that do the questionnaire and then the case study?
Yeah, generally I do the questionnaire and then the case study because really when you do a case study, the whole thing is you're looking to nail objections and you're looking to hit the hot points. And so, you know, I'm guessing you probably have a good idea what they are, but you probably have a better idea after you survey. Now, if you're really confident that you just really know the market and really know what they are, then, you know, you can just forego the survey and go right to the case study. But in general, it's better to do that survey first.
Mm-hmm. So, and I guess I thought of doing the case study in conjunction with the questionnaire because I'm using the you might be a lot like this guy kind of a thing. And so do I need to kind of bring in a little bit of story showing what he's like too?
Without more details, it's pretty hard to answer that. But it's hard to go wrong without, you know, with doing that first, because that initial survey, it doesn't have to be a lot of copy and a lot of texts. You know, it could just, you know, if you just take the sort of the templates I gave and you can go out, you don't have to develop your story too much. I mean, it's great to give the whole story, but in your case, I don't think you necessarily have to go into that, into the entire spiel, the entire I'm a lot like you, right off.
Until after the questionnaire, kind of get into it afterwards. Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Okay.
Hey, sure appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Okay, let's see. We got Todd here. Looks like a Colorado number. Todd, you there? Hello, Todd. Going once, going twice. Hello, Todd. No. Okay, we're going to go to Robert, another Colorado caller.
Jeff, can you hear me?
Yep. Go on, Robert.
I was actually on Todd's phone, but the cell phone died, so it's the same question.
Oh, Okay, good. To kill two birds here then.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for taking the call. Quick question. Our list is about 250,000 of all past customers over the last 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
In the last year, roughly 25 to 30,000 have been active. And we have, you know, essentially a lukewarm list of about 210,000.
Okay.
What is the best way to harvest those, you know, kind of a double opt-in situation, you know, to be able to extract maximum value from that and integrate it with the hot list? But based upon your experience, is there anything that you've seen that's been very effective for that?
Yeah, just give them cool stuff. I mean, it's that simple. I mean, put together a really cool report and you don't want to integrate them. I mean, you know, if you can keep that hot list separate and the new list separate, I would.
Okay.
But yeah, just offer them some cool, you know, cool report, cool video, cool audio, cool teleseminar, and just get them to opt in for that. You know, just classic squeeze page stuff.
Sure.
Really
sure.
Cool.
You know, one other quick question for you, if you still have the voice for it.
Okay.
You know, it's the integration between, and I think I'm going to use the ProFollow that you recommend.
Yep.
Because I've gone through about six or seven providers as well and understand your pain. You know, how does that work in terms of overlap or integration? We use NetSuite for our back end, and we've been looking at Infusionsoft.
Right.
And it's so hard to get a clear picture on that. Just on your experience, has there been anything that's been very effective?
Yeah, well, no. You know, you're sort of exceeding my knowledge, to tell you the truth, because I've run launches where we've integrated Infusionsoft and ProFollow or AWeber, but those launches were big enough where we had like a full-time tech person, and I just said, do this, and they did it. You know, once you get Infusionsoft is a big, complex program, and,
mm-hmm.
So for the absolute beginners on the call, you're not going to have to worry. You're not going to want to go that route, I think. And for some like this, yeah, I think obviously with that size of a list, you got some resources. You're just going to have to pull in someone who knows the tech better than I do.
Sure.
So sorry if that's not. You know, I'd like to give you a better answer, but I don't know.
Not a problem. Thank you so much, Jeff. The course has been excellent so far.
Good. Good. Glad to hear that. Okay, I'm going to take one more question. I'm going to give a little preamble here. On the last, I want to end this call on a happy note, but on the last call I took questions from a couple people that I knew, like both of them were prior high-priced coaching students, and they both had great questions and brought great perspectives to the call, in my opinion. But I had a few people write back that, oh, it was just me talking to my buddies, my rich buddies who have big businesses, and it's just an insider thing. And, geez, if that's the way you're looking at this stuff, I'm disappointed because this isn't an insider's club. We've got people with all kinds of businesses from just starting out all the way to huge businesses. This stuff works for all of you, and I want to make it work for all of you. But, you know, if I can have someone on a call that can bring extra value, then I'll do it every time. So that's my preamble to introducing. I don't know if he's got something to contribute or a question, but Paul Myers is my probably my longest-term friend online. I've been subscribed to Paul's stuff at TalkBiz. I think TalkBiz, well, he can tell you, TalkBiz.com probably, for, I don't know, since 1996 or 7 or something like that. So anyways, Paul Myers has got a question or a comment. I'm going to unmute him. I got to do all the talking now because once I unmute Paul, he'll just talk forever. So he's going to be our last question comment. Here we go, Paul.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Geez, a preamble I get, no less.
Yes.
I held my comments because I figured you were answering these questions brilliantly. I actually just have a question.
Okay.
I don't know if this really applies to a whole lot of people out there that are taking the course, but I'm sure it does to at least a few. And I have some ideas on it for myself, but I'd really like to hear your perspective. As you pointed out, I'm fairly well known, and there's people out there who have all sorts of different ideas about, you know, who I am and what I am and what I do. you know that situation. How would you mine those various perspectives to see which parts of the story are working best for the market, for the people that are out there following a person?
Boy, okay, so there's a lot of different people with a lot of different perceptions of who and what you are.
Well, yeah, after 13 years, we would think, yeah.
Yeah, and so how do you tap into that? I think it's analogous to, like, when Frank Kern does a launch and he always ends up, you know, I end up writing some copy for him or doing something for him and giving him a perspective. And then a month later when I do a launch, and, you know, ostensibly I'm the person that should know this stuff better than anyone, and I'm sitting here wondering, like, what do I do next? And I'm calling up Frank Kern, and I'm calling up, you know, Britt Sheffrin, and I'm calling up Yannick, because not all of us, you know, we have the toughest time with our own stuff, and the mirror distorts the most for when we're looking at our stuff. Paul, I think in your case, you just need to get in the conversation and listen. And I think if you did something like, it sounds to me like you're looking to reintroduce yourself.
Nope.
No?
Nope. Just curious how you would go about doing this.
Well, I think, like, something I don't think you've ever – have you ever done a teleseminar? When's the last time you did a teleseminar, like where you did a teleseminar?
Oh, 3 or 4 years ago?
I thought I'd do something like that, just do a free teleseminar and get the conversation going and hear what you know, and start talking to people. And just do a teleseminar that's mostly Q&A. Do your 13-year perspective on Internet marketing and what's changed and what's working now. And get on there and give them a 20-minute preamble and just start answering questions. And I think a couple hours spent doing that will give you a huge amount of perspective on, you know, how you're seeing and what's the connection point. You know, that's the thing I've been talking. I don't know if you've heard me talk about that, Paul, but unique connection point is that to me, I've never been into that whole unique selling proposition. It just doesn't do anything for me. Unique connection point. And I think, obviously you got a lot of connection points, but if you just, I just think that'd be a good thing for your brand to get on.
The connection points will vary too, depending on whether it's my newsletter subscribers, people
totally.
From the Warrior Forum.
Totally.
You know.
Yeah.
Can I throw something in for Chris? I think it was Cho, the gentleman who's designing the T-shirts. Come up with some really snazzy, cool entrepreneurial bumper sticker, offer it to them free, and use that to build a postal mailing list to supplement the emails on the launch.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, if you can get something in somebody's physical mailbox, you know what that does to your response rate.
Right. Goes through the roof. Cool.
I had some other stuff that I forgot about, but that one was... I actually wrote down.
Excellent. Well, thank you for your question and for your comment, Paul.
Thank you.
Okay.
We'll let you go rest your voice. Oh, wait a minute. One other thing.
What's that?
That was the other one. AWeber, you can give them the thank you page after they confirm.
Right.
So
right.
You can do the soft offer after they confirm.
So what Paul's referring to, I mentioned that the biggest loss, going, in my opinion, going to double opt-in, which you lose the thank you page. But in AWeber, once someone does confirm, then you can give them a thank you page. So then you do have some real estate there to use.
And it's a great place to say, to come up with an excuse to give them a discount or give them some special thing to start off the relationship. Thank you for confirming, blah, blah, blah. A lot of people screw this up. Here's something nice for you, whatever.
Yep. Absolutely. And then you make them an offer. It could be an affiliate offer. When I said a soft offer, that refers to like an offer where people don't have to give you a credit card, but you get paid on a per lead basis. I used to do one for Investors Business Daily where I gave away 2 weeks free to their magazine. Now, this was back in my investing, when I had my investing sites.
Oh, those were sweet.
yeah, people were signing up for my free newsletter. And the way it worked was everyone who signed up for my free newsletter, I'd drop them on that thank you page and offer them 2 weeks free. And I literally, Paul, I was the first person that I'm sure I wasn't the first person to ever invent it, but I didn't know anyone that was doing thank you page, monetizing thank you page the way I was.
That real estate was not being used back then.
Yeah.
Almost nobody. I don't think I saw anybody doing it before late 97 or early 98 at the earliest.
Yeah. Yeah, that was actually my first revenue I made online. I was doing that in 96, and I got it up to like about $1.25 to $1.35 for everyone who opted into my page, or I mean, I'm sorry, opted into my list. You know, I'd be getting $1.25 to $1.35, and put anywhere from 1,000 to 2,000 people a month into that, and it was just pure gravy. So it was a nice ride, but I sort of lost that with the double opt-in. But I didn't have enough back then. I didn't even know to do that whole to use the thank you page with AWeber after the conference. So, anyways, glad you brought that up.
Cool.
Okay, thanks, Paul.
Take care, Jeff.
You too. Okay, that wraps it up. We went a little long here. I think we went 2 hours and 15 minutes. Hope that. That worked for you guys. Hope I didn't go too long. We'll get the recording up sometime in the next day or two. Thanks for calling in. It's a good call. I think we went through a lot of stuff, covered a lot of ground. And I'll be releasing Module 3 tomorrow. I think it's tomorrow. And then I'll be sending an email on all the cool stuff that's coming. That's it. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.